Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Welcome back. Áine Kerr here, sitting in for Brendan. Now, a new book has been released called Travelling on the Path of Joni Mitchell by Anne Powers, which attempts to get under the skin of this beguiling artist and what it takes to become an icon. Here to discuss Joni's life and legacy is author, arts journalist and Joni Mitchell superfan Aoife Barry. Aoife, you're very welcome to the show. As I say, you are this uber fan. You even have a Joni Mitchell tattoo, I'm told. When did the whole love for Joni begin for you?
Well, I feel kind of bad. I don't know if I quite call myself a super fan in the sense there are people who came out of the womb, I think, knowing everything about her compared to me. I was kind of late to it in that. I think, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, there's always a sense of her being this like unbelievable icon and legend, and you know, I always knew this and as a big music fan understood it, but it wasn't, I think, until like my early 30s that I really tapped into, I think, what makes her so special. And I remember going to a singing class, learning some of her songs, and be like, oh, hang on, this woman actually has written these extremely difficult, complicated songs. And I think getting to know her music that way just kicked things off for me in a special way. And I kind of really like that. I think in life, different artists, you know, connect with us at different times for different reasons. And I think ever since that moment, I'm really getting into her music in a totally different way to when I was growing up. I think that's what made me into the fan I am. But I know there's people listening who've probably bought Blue, you know, 53 years ago on vinyl, who are probably laughing at the likes of myself. But I think, you know, it's a very welcoming troop, I think, the Joni fan world.
Well, anyone who wears a tattoo in her honour now, I think, can be deemed a super fan. What does the tattoo say?
It says, it's kind of slightly depressing, but also uplifting, I think. It says, "Nothing lasts for long." It's the title of a track by her. And, you know, it's from her 1982 album, While Things Run Fast. And I just felt that when I was listening to that song, you know, it was about a year after my dad passed away. And it just reminded me of, like, life is pretty ephemeral. It moves pretty fast. And it kind of reminds me to enjoy the good things and also that the bad things can pass kind of quickly too. So, you know, her lyrics, I think, are very, very meaningful to people. So that particular lyric really, really caught me at a particularly important time.
And is that the genius of Joni Mitchell? And I know people often put that word in sentences to describe her, but just says it's the poetry, it's the empathy, it's the philosophy. What makes her so special as an artist?
Yeah, I think since the very beginning, since her early days as a folk singer, you know, moving down from Canada, you know, to the United States to pursue her career, she's always been a woman who has expressed her life in a way that people connect to, but that they also are maybe curious about, that they read her lyrics or listen to her lyrics and they can get that sense of, like you were saying, philosophy of figuring out what the world is about, but also that she's always felt very wise beyond her years. You know, if you look at a song like Both Sides Now, which so many people will know, that she's recorded it like three different times during her lifetime, and each time you listen to it you think of her in her 20s or younger actually writing it, and how it meant something as a young woman. And then when she's kind of an older woman, she re-records it with an orchestra and it takes on another meaning in her life. And now that she's 80, you know, when she performs it, because she's thankfully back performing, that it takes on even greater meaning. So I think she's someone who's always tapped into the questions and the feelings that people have about life, but also she's really evolved a lot as her career has gone on. I mean, she started as a folk artist and then moved into jazz fusion. You know, she was someone who kind of experimented with synths during the 1980s when you know, synths were particularly being experimented with kind of music wise and I think that people love the fact that she brings her own unique viewpoint to life and to her experiences. And she's been through a lot of very tough things. She had polio when she was a child. She had gave birth to her daughter who she put up for adoption. And, you know, she's divorced. She's had a lot of different relationships and has learned things from them. And she's also someone who musically has always kind of pushed against the tide in some ways. And she's, you know, innovative. So I think people tap into all of these different elements to her, that there's this, you know, kind of resistance against what the world expects of her, and that she always has done her own thing.
And she's sung the personal songs, but she's then sung about Magdalene laundries, Indigenous people, you know, these real cultural moments and history moments. And Blue was the breakthrough album that you talked about there. But what makes probably this book, Travelling on the Path of Joni Mitchell, different is that it's trying to kind of look at the art, not just the artist. And Joni Mitchell herself is not one of the collaborators with this book. Yeah. Is it giving a new, fresh perspective on her?
Yeah, I think that's key with it, with this book. It's that it's essentially what we would call, you know, an unauthorized biography, and that Ann Power is, who's a longtime music critic based in the United States, that she's writing this book without Joni Mitchell's say so, without an interview with Joni Mitchell, which I think sometimes you can look at those kind of books and think, oh, like, what am I going to get out of it if the artist didn't necessarily want it to be written? But I think the key with it is actually that Ann Power is puts herself into the book. So it's as much a memoir as it is a biography. So we get the kind of chronological sense of the journey of Joni Mitchell's life. But because Ann Powers is a music critic, she's analysing, she's looking at things from a critic's point of view. She's putting Joni Mitchell's music into kind of place as to where it was at a certain time and why she was influenced by this, that, and the other thing. And she kind of, I think, peels apart some of the myths and the mythology that is around her. You know, she's not afraid to criticise her when she feels like she needs to be criticised. And she's not afraid to say, oh, hang on, people call her a genius. But what do we mean when we say genius? And who is calling her a genius? And so I think she both manages to show us that, like, she is a genius, but also tear apart that idea of genius as being these perfect people who never get anything wrong.
Where does the book land out on the idea of her maybe being a feminist icon? Like, you know, this is a woman who made her way in the time of Bob Dylan and Paul Simon and all of these others. Mm. How does she emerge in that whole argument?
Yeah, Ann Powers is great on this because she shows that, like, Joni Mitchell never, you know, held herself up from the early days as being a feminist icon. She kind of shied away from using the term, you know, for good reason at the time, in the sense that it actually would have been looked on really negatively, particularly in the 70s. And she kind of understood this reputationally and didn't say it. But through her actions, as Ann Powers shows in the book, a lot of what she did was actually feminist. And yet at the same time, she did try to be one of the guys, you know, in Laurel Canyon. She's hanging out with and going out with members of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. She's become this really important person during this really significant moment of music. But as Powers says, at some points she tries to genius her way beyond gender. So she, you know, I think that's a really clever way of showing that she was able to lean into what made her different, which is a woman in this kind of man's club. And she was able to take advantage of that, but at the same time she was breaking barriers by doing that. And I really like that Powers gets into that nuance of it, that she wasn't, you know, saying, like, I'm flying the flag for women, I'm only doing these things because women need to do them. She's also kind of saying, well, how can this special role of the only gal amongst the guys kind of insulate me maybe from criticism, or insulate me from doing what other people are doing? So it's quite nuanced and complicated, and I really liked how she gets into that.
And it shows just the turbulent years as well. Like, she had the wilderness years in the 80s and 90s. Mm. She's had the illnesses that you talked about there. But then she's had this amazing comeback in recent years. You're going to see her in California. Mm. Like, what are you hoping to feel, to experience? Is this on the bucket list for you?
Yeah, I actually can't believe a friend of mine managed to get us tickets to go to it. So I'm really excited. I mean, she's 80 years old. You know, people might remember in 2015, she had an aneurysm. She wasn't able to walk for a period of time. She wasn't able to talk for a period of time. So the idea of her being back and performing is something that a lot of, particularly the really long-term Joni Mitchell fans, are, I think, really kind of shocked and in a really positive way about. And there's a musician called Brandi Carlile, American musician, who's really kind of, in a way, taken Joni under her wing, even though she's the younger musician, and has formed this group around her called the Joni Jam. And so she's backed up when she's performing with other musicians, with singers, and they give Joni Mitchell her rightful place on the stage as the kind of queen of the stage, but they're there behind her and showing her, you know, you can do it. So, you know, there is a live album of their performance at Newport, which would bring us like a tear to a stone. It's so emotional to hear her sing, you know, on stage after being so ill a couple of years ago. So I'm really looking forward to just seeing what she's like now at this stage of her career, seeing kind of, I suppose, as well, the Joni fans who have been listening to her since the early days, and seeing what it's like and soaking up that atmosphere. And that's in October, so I can't wait for that.
What do you think her legacy is now? And do you think, like, we've seen so many musicians in recent years, these big biopics in the cinemas, do you think a Joni film will be required to absolutely sustain that legacy long term for her?
I think it's been really interesting over the last few years to see that legacy kind of reemerge, and that idea of, you know, it's unquestioned now that she's a legend. It's unquestioned that she's a genius. People are really, I think, making up for any sexism that she faced at different points during her career. And so there is, I think, you know, a desire to see a biopic about her. And apparently she is writing with Cameron Crowe, the director and good friend of hers and writer as well. Apparently they are working together on a script for a biopic, but there's no particular time frame necessarily for it. I think people would be really really hungry for it, because she's someone who really is so unique. It's actually very hard to think of people who even sound like her now. You know, she's influenced so many people, but at the same time, she has really tread her own path. And I think if you look back at musical history, you know, especially in kind of the 20th century from the 1960s on, and how pivotal, you know, pop and rock music were at that time, she played such a huge role in showing how, you know, women can innovate and can lead the way and can, you know, bring in new different kind of ideas and genres. So I think people will be very hungry for more about Joni Mitchell, because we're really realizing how special she has been to music as a whole.
We watch with interest. Enjoy the gig in California. No doubt we will hear more about that. Thanks to author and arts journalist and Uber Joni Mitchell fan Aoife Barry for joining us today. We'll be back after these.